Yep. Perfect. I'm so happy to have my friend Oleg here tonight on the show on Pax Europiana. He is a very important gentleman. You will learn everything about him now very soon. Oleg, I'm so happy to have you. Thanks a lot. Can you introduce yourself a bit to our audience? And thank you very much for sharing your insight and your stories with us this afternoon. Thanks a lot. Oleg, you're welcome.
Hi, Günther. Thank you for inviting me. My name is Oleg Magalevsky. I'm a founder of Free Nation Post Russia Forum platform, and I'm a great supporter of decolonization Russia, or even better say Moscovia, because it is the last colonial empire in Europe, and we should be active together. Together, I mean United Europe. And it's not only the European Union. Yeah, it means they are all Europe, which include United Kingdom, which includes Switzerland, Ukraine, Western Balkan countries who are not yet a part of European Union, to act proactive, to act offensive, to understand that we are already in the war, not only my country, Ukraine, but already whole Europe, because Moscovia want to destroy our continent, our unity, not only European, but Euro-Atlantic also. And they are preparing to attack not only Ukraine, but other European countries. They are on process to prepare attack in Baltic states and probably Scandinavia, Central European state. And they are working not only it's Russia, it's already the axis of dictatorship. I call it cringe axis: China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, and here satellites like Venezuela, regimes Lukashenko, Vucic, and others. So they are already on war against Europe, against United States, and they wanted to act together with China, People's Republic of China. They were preparing to attack Taiwan and probably Japan, and we should be ready for that, and we should stop them now, because if we won't stop them now, other European countries, not only Ukraine, will be in war, and it will be a war on their land. So let's make new frontier of post-Russia, or you like to say ex-Russia, and not new front line in the Baltic states or Scandinavia. So it's my short intro.
Thanks a lot. You are basically the spiritual father of the ex-Russia movement, as I like to call it. And I'm very honored that you joined this show tonight. Yeah. Tell me, what was your inspirational moment, your transformational moment when you started to think it's time to ex-Russia? You have to do it. You have to draw this map and you have to mobilize. Now, I think it's already 20 meetings where the opposition and the independence leaders of future ex-Russia meet. When did this happen? What was your moment of decision to do that?
My country, I'm Ukrainian, a Ukrainian citizen, and we have the unfortunately long story to be a part of Russia or Romanov Empire or USSR. So it was always the Moscovia imperialistic states. It could have different name. Now it's so-called Russia Federation, but it's not real federation. It's classic colonial empire. So my country was for 300 years a part of this empire, like other states who now independent: Lithuania, Estonia, Finland, Poland. So we know what is it to be a part of this empire and what to be independent. And we could understand these people who now live still under the Moscow colonial rule, like Bashkortostan, Tatarstan, Saha, Buryatia, Karelia, Cherkessia, Ingushetia, Ingria, Smolandia, and so on, because we have the same experience. And for me, it was clear even in 2014 when Russia, or better say Moscow, started war against Ukraine, and they occupied Crimea, and they started big war on the eastern part of Ukraine in the Donetsk and Luhansk oblast. And then it was much more clear in 2022 that we don't have other choice to finish this war. Only in Moscow, because still Moscow have their colonies, they will come back. We could have some ceasefire, we could have some breaks, but still Moscow control the Siberia, controls the Sakha, Bashkortostan, Tatarstan. They will have resources to finance this war, and they will have the people which they use like a meat to throw them now in Ukraine. It was before in Syria, in Sakartvela or Georgia, like these states. It was in Ichkeria in early 19th, and they wanted to continue it in Germany, Austria, Baltic states, Finland, and they st speak this openly. If you could look for some videos with Medvedev, Solovyov, Narishkin, Patrushev, Kadyrov, and others, they say that we wanted to repeat. Yes, they wanted to go to the Europe and make the new iron curtain. So they are says openly. We know that they wanted to do it, and I understand that we don't have other choice. And this paradox, because the freedom of my country, freedom of my continent, Europe, is depends of real people who wanted to enslave us, who are used by Moscow to enslave us to become free. If Bashkortostan, Tatarstan, Siberia, Ingria, Ural, Far East Republic, Pskov Republic will become independent, so it means that we don't have the streets of Moscovia, revanchists, militarists, and colonialism. So we should help to this nation's captive nation, because it's not minority. You know, Moscow propaganda also like to use this vocabulary about some minorities. No, people, Bashkors people in Bashkortostan is not minority. It's captive nation. Saha people in Saha, or Moscow people say Yakutia, it's not minority. It's captive nation. And to have even this bill, so it's not just my some wishful thinking or dream. We have bill which was elected seen by the president Eisenhower, true Republican president, yeah, and good Republican, great old party, not like we have this crazy MAGA now. And it was voted by Congress in, as far as I remember, 1957. So where was captive nation? On that time, captive nation was not only Poles, Ukrainian, Estonian, Lithuanian, but also Hungarian, Czech people, also people in eastern Turkestan, so Uyghur people. Also there was mentioned people in Idel Ural region, so Bashkors, Tatars, Kazakhs peoples. So we even have this law, and we should know that people who are also still under the Moscow colonial rule, it's not minorities. It's not only indigenous people. It's captive nation because they have their political subjectivity. They have their own states in past and will have it in future, because now it's just occupied. Like, for example, Chechen Republic of Ichkeria. It was never part of Russian Federation. They never signed any agreement with Russia, so they become independent from the USSR. And Russia, such big call, democratic Boris Yeltsin started a war against independent states. Of course, it wasn't recognized, but all war world, but it was independent. And we should recognize Chechen Republic of Ichkeria in whole world. Also, I hope it will be recognized not only in Ukraine, my country, but also in different European Union countries soon. And we hope also in Austria.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just to explain again, Ukraine has already recognized Chechnya.
We already have in our parliament bill, yeah, it was voting in 2022. We recognized the Chechen Republic of Ichkeria like occupied land and country by Russia.
Very good. It's an example for the whole world, and absolutely Chechnya must be recognized. They also have, for example, an exile government. It's already very developed. Yeah, they are also part of your movement.
You know, Free Nation Post Russia Forum is not organization, it's a platform. So we try to help to make voices of captive nation and their movements in exile, for example, Chechen Republic of Ichkeria movement exile, or Tatarstan movement in exile, or other movements louder in Western countries, in European Union, NATO, in United States, in Canada, and also in other free world countries like Japan, Taiwan, or Australia. Because Russia propaganda is very successful. They sell for whole world that territory from Königsberg, which never was part of this empire before 1945. You know, Königsberg now called is Kaliningrad. Before it was Kralovets, Königsberg, Korolevsky, so is East Prussia or Baltic ancient city where Kant was born, till occupied Karafuta, which was a Japanese land and still occupied it now, that it is one united Russia. There is no other nation, no other people, and it is the same. But this territory is 17 billion millions kilometers. It's more than all South America, for example. So, of course, there is different nation, different people. And even if people speak Russian on these lands, they are not the same, because people in Moscow, people in St. Petersburg region, Ingria is a future independent states, by the way, very important one, and people in Siberia, Ural, and Pacific Federation future in Khabarovsk, Vladivostok, they are totally different. Totally different. It's not like a people who speak in Spain by the Spanish language, for example, in Mexico or Argentina or Chile or Colombia. They're also different. Of course, they could speak Spanish, they could be Catholic, they could have some the same culture background, but they're different because different nation. And the same situation will be on the post-Russia or ex-Russia spaces, because it's not about the language. You know, you're Austrian people, you speak German language, but Austrian people and German people is different people. And people, for example, who speak German in Zurich or Basel, they are different from people who speak German language in Munich or in Vienna. So it's very important to understand that Russian language not depends that it not means that the people are the same. And we will see on the post-Russia spaces or ex-Russia spaces the same situation, for example, which was with Arabic people. You know, when it was Ottoman Empire, there was a lot of Arabic people who live in North Africa, in Middle East, but now we don't have one Arabic state. We have Egypt, we have, for example, Jordania, we have Syria, we have Iraq, we have other Arabic states, for example, in the Gulf region. Yeah, we have our United Arabic Emirates, we have Kuwait, Qatar, and so on. So quite the same will be with the post-Russia space or ex-Russia spaces.
Oleg, tell me about this map, the most famous map, which I'm very often sharing on my Twitter account, and it's also the header of my Twitter account, of these 41 new states which should be emerging out of ex-Russia. What's the history of that map? Where did you paint it? Where did you make it? And did you consult it with all the movements inside to have a clear plan for 41 new states?
Of course, we consulted. Of course, it's a visualization, it's a plan. So it's just a started to a conversation, yeah, to debate, because of course, in future could be 41 new independent states, or could be 45 or 21. It could be different, but we have just a plan, just a start for debate. And when we create this map, it was, we have different version. Yeah, so it's not the first one, but it's there, and now it's the main one. And it depends on the demographic, administrative borders now, on the population, on the economic and logistic points, on the social points, on the ethnical and national living area for the people. So it's include different options, and we create this map like a way how it could be. And we understand, and the leaders of different movements understand that in reality, in future, it could be some other borders. But because, for example, Cherkess people, they are have different points how it could be with independent Kubani. It could be one state or two separate states like Palestine and Israel. Yeah. So we try to prevent some conflicts. And we already signed the agreement. It was in 2023. The leaders of all main movements in Paris, they signed agreements that they are recognized now administrative borders inside such called Russian Federation, like a future in the borders for independent states. And if they have will have some different view how it could be, they won't make war like it was, for example, in Bosnia, yeah, or in Croatia, when Serbs people say, oh, we don't want to recognize Croatia or something like that. So they will not have the violence, but they will have the conference, and they will have the mediation for facilitation from the European states or Japan or Taiwan, when they will decide it in non-violence, in peaceful way, how to have new borders. And it's not about war. They wanted to have peaceful, to develop their own independent states, to have trade, to have a connection, to have some regional organization. Some of them wanted to be in future a part of European Union and NATO. For example, independent Karelia, independent Ingria, independent Smolandia, Pskov Republic, could be Kuban also, or Ichkeria could be a great part of eastern new flank of Eastern European Union, a new frontier. For example, independent Sakha, independent Buryatia in eastern and northern Eurasia could be a great area for Japan, for South Korea, for Taiwan, and there could be new regional organization. And for me, it's I like this way of Visegrad Force. You know, this after Iron Curtain fell in early 19th, Czech Republic, Hungary, Slovakia, and Poland. They make this Visegrad Force, and they are was on one track to integrate European Union. Not unfortunately, now we have this problem with Orbán, with Fico, but the idea of coordination, for example, for North Caucasus states, Ingushetia, Cherkessia, Kumykia, Dagestan, or some other states, to coordinate, to have open borders, to have a currency, for example, new one or something like that. It's quite good experience of Central European states.
Perfect. Oleg, one question about recently you published a book and you do a big tour through whole Europe to promote the idea of ex-Russia. Can you tell me about the emergence of this book?
I even could show you this book if you have 30 minutes. I will bring it. One moment.
Yes, please. We all want to see it because it's very special. And there's also a website for this book. And we have to also honor the gentleman who was the most important editor. Sorry, now Oleg has to run for the book, but he will
Yeah,
be back very soon.
I'm
Look,
come
here
back.
it is.
So yeah,
Bravo. Thank you, Oleg.
this is
Yeah.
the book. Yeah, the editor of this book is Janusz Bugajski. Unfortunately, he passed away in October. Is a great friend of captive nation and free nation. He was a man who was fighting against USSR. He was one of the great people with Central European background, Polish, Ukrainian, Jew, who was growing in United Kingdom, and then he was living and working in United States with Paul Gobel. It was like with Zbigniew Brzezinski, like the rock of people who understand that we should win the USSR, and now we should win the so-called Russian Federation, which is no real federation but a colonial empire. So this book is called Free Nation, New State, the End Stage of Russian Colonialism, and it's I will make this one,
Perfect.
and this is, oh, it's spoiled, but it will
Russia
open.
will fall. The book must
Russia will
end.
fall.
Russia must fall.
So it's anthology which include different speeches and texts from the leader of movements of captive nation who are fighting for their independence from, for example, Chechen Republic of Ichkeria, which now occupied land. It never was part of Russian Federation, and nation who are still under the Moscow colonial control, for example, Orat Kalmykia, Ingria, Erzyan Master, Khakassia, Altai, Ural, Siberia, Bashkortostan, Tatarstan, and so on, and some friends of captive nation from all the world, from Canada, United States, Taiwan, Austria, Germany, France, Ukraine, Estonia, Latvia. For example, it's very pleasure that we have your Günter Fehlinger text speech in this anthology, and we make some presentation promotion for this book for in different country, because it's very important for stakeholders, for policymakers in European Union, in NATO country, in Japan, to understand what Russia really is. It's colonial empire, imperialistic, which wanted to destroy rule-based order, and what Russia isn't it, because they try to sell this propaganda myths about Russia. So we are make this presentation tour, try in with idea to change the policy against Russia, because unfortunately still we have bad policy to the Russia. We don't have any strategy in Europe what we should do with Russia, post-Russia, ex-Russia, how to real support the captive nation, not only in informational way but in a real active way, because they their struggle for independence should be successful. It's win-win both for this nation, Bashkortostan, Tatarstan, and also for whole Europe. And we should have this strategy, foresight, and we should have real roadmaps and go step by step to build better future without this Moscow colonial empire, without blackmail from Moscow, without different hybrid kinetic attack from Moscow. And we should win this war, because if you won't win, Russia, China, North Korea, Iran will win, and it means that we'll have very bad future.
Absolutely, we must win this war. Putin, actually, your movement had already some impact and some recognition in Russia recently because Putin himself complained about so many people in the West talking about decolonization of Russia. And also, the Russian Federation has declared this movement a terrorist organization, to my best information. What's the status quo?
You're totally right. Just last week, Putin have, but we should understand that problem not in Putin. Problem isn't the roof. Problem is this imperialistic mindset of Russian people, of Russian state. And he, when he has last week some presentation or some press conference, I don't know really what is what it was, and he said that Western countries are working on decolonization and even create this term of post-Russia. Unfortunately, we don't say ex-Russia like you
That's a
like,
pity.
and you have all a t-shirt, but to say post-Russia, yeah, it's our work, and we're working on post-Russia area, and post-Russia will be, and Putin and other war crimes and terrorists like Kadyrov, Patrushev, Lavrov, Shoigu, they will have, we'll have the tribunal like it was in Nuremberg, you know, and we'll have the UN. I think the great place for it, it's for example Yalta, Crimea. So they like Crimea very much, so we'll make this tribunal probably in deoccupied Crimea or in Mariupol. Unfortunately, it's a lot of people where they killed in Mariupol and in other Ukrainian cities, in Bakhmut, Avdiivka, but we'll find a good place for this tribunal, and they will be in prison, and we will liberate and occupy all Ukrainian land, on all Georgia land, which are occupied by Russia. We'll liberate Japanese land, which also occupied its northern territory and Karafuta. And of course, all captive nation will be free. And then we'll try to build, to make reconstruction, because you know, decolonization and creating a new states is not the end; it's just a beginning. Because state building is quite difficult process, and we shouldn't repeat the problem which was and mistakes in, for example, Balkan states. I don't mean the success story of Slovenia or Croatia, but as such mistakes which were done in Bosnia, not to repeat the Srebrenica and some other mistakes which were done because West, the European countries, the United States were prepared for that. So we have don't have any strategy, and we support the former metropolis Serbia, and Serbia could make this genocide in Srebrenica and other state. Don't repeat the problem which and mistake with what's with Kosovo. Unfortunately, still Kosovo don't recognize by a lot of state. Unfortunately, my state don't recognize Kosovo yet, and we are working to change it, to recognize Kosovo, to recognize Taiwan independence, and I hope it will be done soon. So we should be prepared and understand that decolonization is a tool, it's not a target, and our target is a long-term peace and stability in Europe, in Pacific region, in Euro-Atlantic region. So it means that we should have a program and strategy for reconstruction of post-Russian spaces, try to not make 20 years ago, later, some new one, Frankenstein of Russia, colonialism or militarism. And it means that we should help this new independent stance to become successful, rich, to integrate it. For example, if Karelia, Ingria will be rich, successful, prosperous, they won't be a threat for Europe because they will be a part of Europe. So it means that Romania, Ukraine, Poland, it's not Eastern Ukraine, Eastern Europe, it's Central Europe. So we should have new Eastern European policy, because Eastern Europe is Komi, Bashkortostan, Ichkeria, or Kalmykia. So it means that we should build also the strategy of reconstruction new Eastern Europe.
Oleg, I personally have participated, I think, in about seven forums which you organized. I was in Washington, London, Paris. I was also in Vienna in 2024, and I was in several others. But you have organized, I think, 20 forums already in Japan and in other places. Can you explain a little bit? Because you have the website, but you also do on-site conferences in many parliaments and in many countries of the world. Can you a little bit elaborate what was your highlights and what was the series of events you're organizing and what's your next steps?
Yeah, so one of the main direction of the Free Nation Post-Russia Forum platform working is informational and culture diplomatic work. So we are working day by day like the think tank informational portal on the issues of decolonization, Moscovia, like the last colonial empire in Europe and reconstruction post-Russian space. But to be more successful, we need not only online informational and analytic work, but also offline meeting and offline events when people could meet people. It's very important because, you know, Russia propaganda, unfortunately, for centuries quite successful, and they tried to say that all movements for independence, all people who are fighting for independence, for example, Ichkeria or Ingria or Bashkortostan, they are terroristic, they are crazy, they are not normal people. You can't have the deal with them because it's better to have deal with Moscow, even if Moscow is not okay. But you know, if Moscow will collapse, you will have a new one, ISIS or Taliban in Volga region or in Caucasus region, or you will have 20 Prigozhin on this territory. So it's better to have deal with Lavrov, Putin, and so on. So is there a strategy to sell this idea? And that is why we have different events in Vienna, in Tokyo, in Washington, D.C., in Ottawa, in Paris, London, Vilnius, Stockholm. It was the last one in the North Europe to show that, for example, the leaders of Ichkeria, Tatarstan, Bashkortostan, Sakha, Buryatia, Ingria, it's normal people. They are liberal. They are not fundamentalistic. They want to have free trade. Open borders to have normal economical relationship. So these people is also will be the benefit not only for their nation but for Europe. For example, for Austria. Now Austria have the problem with this Russia oil, gas, like Hungary, Slovakia, and so on. But when it will be ex-Russia or post-Russian spaces, there will be not one Moscow who blackmail and have the high prices of their oil and gas, but you will have like a buyer to choose who will sell this oil and gas. Independent Bashkortostan, independent Tatarstan, independent Oriental-Kalmykia, independent Siberia, independent Komi, or some other way. So, because you know, there's no Russia oil and gas, no Russia uranium or diamond. All of them are Bashkirs, Tatars, Siberian, and so on. So it's very important to understand that decolonization and reconstruction of post-Russian spaces is win-win. And when we organize this event, so people, political diplomats, expert journalists from these countries where we have our events could speak directly with Tatars, Bashkors, Sakha, Buryat, and other people. So I think it's very important people know people and to have this direct connection on the one level to understand that it's win-win scenario.
The best conference I personally attended was in the European Parliament in January 2023, and also it's all documented online on video, and this was very important. And then there was the Hudson Institute in Washington, D.C. There was, I think, also in April 2023, and there even was a debate between various political directions inside the movement about the Russian opposition, which wants to have a free federal Russia, and the ones who want ex-Russia. Yeah, of course, you are for ex-Russia, but do you think there is really a realistic chance to have a democratization of the Russian Federation, like some in the West? They are hoping that after the end of Putin, there's a way forward and Russia will be a more normal, friendly democracy and will be paying reparations for all the crimes against Ukraine, and they will try to be a normal part of the free world. Do you think this is a realistic option?
We are open and pluralistic platform. So even if you don't agree with some other views of people, we provide them opportunity to speak and to debate. That is what's in Hudson Institute, for example, debate which you mentioned. But we should understand that we already have it in the past that believe that Russia could be democratic. So I a little bit read and learn from the history. Of course, it's not repeated, but I know that Russia couldn't be democratic. Russian people could build democratic state, but Russia couldn't be democratic because it's too big and it's never was a democratic. So it's a huge area which have not the story of subsidiarity and the federal level. You know, if you want to build a real federation or confederation, what you need? You need at first, you need not from the central, from the high place, you need from the ground to have this federal movement and federal level. So at first it should be independent, Ingria, independent Siberia, independent Karelia, and then it probably could build something bigger, some federal or confederated level. But at the first it should be independent. But if we will have independent Ingria and Karelia, they have nothing in common, not only with Moscow, but of course they have nothing in common with Sakha, because Sakha have no reason why should they have been in one federation, not with, for example, Buryatia or Japan or United even States from the Arctic region, but with Ingria, Karelia. It's far, far away from them. A different culture, different language, different religion, different trade and economical perspective. So even if there will be some new federation or, for example, Russian Federation, it wouldn't include this, for example, Sakha, Buryatia. So it could be Volga Federation, where will be Samara region, for example, some Astrakhan region, probably, who knows? It could be Siberia Federation or Confederation or United States of Siberia, because it's some reason why people in Novosibirsk, Krasnoyarsk, Tobolsk could be in one area, United States of Siberia. But for United States, for Siberia, it's no reason to be in the same state with Moscow or with St. Petersburg region. So, of course, there could be a different federation, confederation with Russian people, but it won't be the one united Russia. Because, for example, for Karelia or Kuban, it's better to be a part of European Union, but not the part of some federation with Khabarovsk, Vladivostok region, or Chukotka, Kamchatka. Because from Kuban, it's much more closer to Black Sea, yeah, to Romania, Ukraine, to Turkey, but not to, for example, I don't know, Khakassia, which are 6,000 kilometers. For example, from Moscow to Yakutsk in Sakha, it's 8,000 kilometers. It like was from Lisbon to Angola to Luanda when Angola was a colony of Portugal. So, of course, it could be democratic and hope it will be democratic Russian states. But it should be plural. It should be multi-states for Russian people, not one state, because it's too big, too different. And if it will be something one and united, for a few years it could be democratic. But then it will become one more time dictatorship, totalitarian state, which will try to make the repressive inside these states and military aggression outside.
Oleg, do you think that the West, after the fall of Putin, will repeat the big mistake of 1992 when we tried to have a united Russia and sacrificed Chechnya to the Putin and Yeltsin swords in two wars? Do you think we will make the mistake again? Or do you think that the West will be wiser and recognize the independence of the successor states?
I'm not Nostradamus. I'm not one guy. I don't know the future. But my point is to create future, try to design it. So it depends on us, on our work. If it will be success, if we will success in what we are doing with you and with other people who follow Free Nation for Russia Forum, and it's great people. Yeah, you know, it's a former minister of foreign affairs, it's members of parliament in Italy, in Ukraine, in Estonia, Lithuania, it's member of parliament and policymakers in Japan, in United States, it's the senior fellow of Hudson Institute, of Jamestown Foundation. We have a partnership with Pan-European Movement, and I have this tie of Pan-European. It's very, I'm honored to be also a part of Pan-European Ukrainian movement. So if you work hard and will be success, it depends on us. We shouldn't repeat these mistakes, and we should do everything possible and everything impossible not to repeat the mistakes of 1992 and the mistakes of 1918. When Russia, now we are on the before the third collapse of Russia imperialism, but the first one was in 1917, and we should finish with this problem 100 years ago. But unfortunately, United Kingdom, France, and some other countries support not independent Ukraine, independent Bashkortostan, independent Siberia movement, independent far East Republic, but they support this at first Denikin and other white Russia, which wanted to rebuild this empire. And then when they lose this war in Russia, they support the Bolshevik Soviet. Yeah, and they have the recognized USSR and have a good relationship with Stalin. Nevertheless, so it's our target, it's our work not to repeat third time this mistake.
Absolutely. This was our talk with Oleg Magalecki, the brain and driver of the agenda of ex-Russia, of the post-Russian forum, the author of this book, and the man who has organized over 20 conferences worldwide to prepare the world for the future, a better future, where there is ex-Russia, where there is independence and freedom of these great nations to emerge. And I want to thank you very much. And what's your last message for our audience? What is your wish for 2026? What should happen? And of course, victory for Ukraine, we know that. But do you think 2026 can be the moment Russia breaks and freedom reigns?
Russia could break in any moment. In any moment, it even could be in 2023 when we have this Prigozhin March, and it was our mistakes not to be prepared for this window of opportunity which we have for 20 hours. So we should be prepared for next time. We'll have it. I don't know it will be 2026 or 2027, 2028, but you know in our map we have the Northern Eurasia 2040, so we should finish with this Russian Empire before it. And my last point is, let's work together to make Moscovia small again. It's our main target, because Moscovia, the land, the est, all empire are collapsing, and we should speed up collapse of this empire and build long-term peace and stability in Europe, Atlantic, Pacific, which couldn't be without decolonization, last colonial empire in Europe. And we should win this cringe axis, because it's not only Russia. It's People's Republic of China, Iran, North Korea, and their satellites. If we won't be proactive and offensive, they will start a big third world war and first nuclear war, and they will attack People's Republic of China, will attack Taiwan, Russia will attack Baltic states, Iran will make more war in the Middle East. So